this is going to be good, isn't it?
I loved this book.
Put that effing book down.
You know, the Iliad and the Odyssey.
She's a furious woman.
I'm reading it and reading it and I'm going, oh no.
So I thought I really have to hook the reader.
It's taken up half my heart, you know.
There's no trickery in her writing.
Have you heard of the Scholomance? It's a school for black magic, or maybe necromancy, that appears in Transylvanian and other folklore. Hold that dark and fabled thought for just a moment as I say hello and welcome to a podcast extra edition of ABC Radio National's The Bookshelf. I'm Kate Evans, and the reason I'm referencing folklore is because today's guest likes to play with old stories. Her name is Naomi Novik, and I discovered her thanks to a guest reviewer here on the program. Thank you, Trent Jamison. Now, he recommended her books Spinning Silver and Uprooted, which drew on Polish Jewish stories in a way that make them feel like historical fiction before they turn more and more magical and fantastical. She also has a series called Temeraire, which is about dragons, but also set during the Napoleonic Wars. Her latest book, though, is called A Deadly Education, about a school where you tend to be killed off if you can't keep up with your lessons. Naomi Novik, thank you so much for speaking to us on The Bookshelf.
Thank you for so much for having me.
Now, congratulations on A Deadly Education, set in a magical institution with no teachers but a lot of lessons and traps. Could you describe the place for us?
The Scholomance is basically this sort of enormous corkscrew-shaped school. In fact, when I first was writing the books, I didn't actually know what it looked like. I was about halfway through when finally the shape sort of coalesced. There's a very famous legend of the Scholomance. It appears in Bram Stoker's Dracula, and the original legend is of this school where wizards would go to study the dark arts. They would ask their questions, there would be no teachers, and their answers would be given to them in letters of flame that shone out of the dark. And they spent their entire time in the school in the dark, and at the end of it, when they graduated, the devil would take the hindmost, the last graduate, and keep their soul in payment for the secrets and dark knowledge that the others have gained. That basic sense, that idea of sort of the students in the dark and paying this terrible price, this sort of almost gambling with something more than their lives almost, was the sort of the genesis of the Scholomance. And from there, it mingled, of course, with so many, you know, the trope of the magical boarding school, which itself grows out of the trope of boarding school stories, is one of my favorites. And the two sort of felt like a place of an interesting conversation.
So, I mean, that seems to be something that you've done quite a bit in your writing, though, is taken an old idea and then sort of questioned what would happen with it. I mean, you've done it with Rumpelstiltskin's story, you've done it with other folk stories. So what does that tell us about you as a reader?
You know, I started writing as a fanfic writer. So for me, what I always am interested in is, as a writer, is having conversations. Writing, in a way, is very much how I respond. Writing is my response, my reader response. You know, some people might write an essay, some people might want to act out something that they've read and loved or something like that. But for me, when I read something that I love and I want more of it, I have questions about it. I sort of write my way into the story and sort of try and grab hold of the story in that way. That's always something that I'm looking for as a reader.
In this institution that you've invented in A Deadly Education, it's full of danger and threat. Every shadow might hold a monster, but the library is the safest place in the school. So tell us more about your relation to libraries.
I think that's right. You know, the library is the least terrible place in a terrible place in the Scholomance. You know, obviously, one of the pleasures, I think, of the Scholomance books of A Deadly Education, is that it does that sort of amplification of a shared experience. Most of the people that I know, most of the nerdy bookish people that I know, did not enjoy high school and found themselves, you know, and were still sort of trying to figure themselves out. And I don't know anyone who didn't at least have some sort of moments of difficulty and tension and struggle in adolescence, in that sort of complicated coming of age time. Of course, when you're in that moment, everything feels so enormous, right? It feels like that your life is on the line, even if it actually isn't. Telling a story where, in fact, that emotional truth becomes literal truth works because it allows you as the reader to sort of empathize with Galadriel, with Elle, because even if, you know, you aren't literally being hunted by monsters, you probably do have the experience of feeling like you were hunted by monsters at some point.
I'm also interested in the way that, as somebody who writes fantasy fiction, and you have such a strong interest in magic, but looking at all your books, there's a thread through all of them of the characters having to grapple with magic, learn it, try to understand this mysterious thing. So none of the characters are quite ready for the skills and powers that they have. So why does that interest you?
Personally, I always like learning new things, and I like that process. I think it's an interesting process to watch from outside. I think that it's something interesting to experience through somebody else's eyes. And also, obviously, as a reader, you know, you are having to learn the magic system for any book. So learning it with one of the characters is always more fun than having it sort of spelled out for you in a certain way.
If you were to imagine the books that sit behind, below, forming this, not just A Deadly Education, but all of your books, what would you have to mention?
So I would say it is quite different for different books, because each book sort of comes out of a place sort of where I am. I would say A Deadly Education comes, I would say, obviously there's the mention of the Scholomance. The Scholomance is something that I've been kind of carrying around in my head for so long that that's one of those sort of obscure references that just stuck in my own head. And so, you know, I don't know if I would say that it's the book was the foundation. It was sort of that spark. And then I've spent literally all the intervening time occasionally thinking about the Scholomance and imagining what it might be and imagining characters in the Scholomance, that kind of thing. Beyond that, obviously, Harry Potter is I think, clearly, and the Harry Potter, not just Harry Potter on its own, but the Harry Potter fanish community and the large body of Harry Potter fanfic within which I've participated myself. You know, the creativity, the sort of the lushness of imagination that so many people have brought to it over all the years. And then I would say on top of that, there are some other things that are maybe less obvious. I have been recently, you know, and shortly before starting the Scholomance, I've been reading and rereading Ursula Le Guin's short story, Those Who Walk Away from Omelas. And that story is one that I read many years ago and then came back to relatively recently, in fact, just shortly before she passed away. I actually was writing fan fiction sort of involving that story and sort of exploring certain ideas that then I think came into A Deadly Education. One of the books behind Spinning Silver was a book by the late wonderful historian Barbara Tuchman, who wrote a book called A Distant Mirror, The Calamitous 13th Century, which was essentially about the Black Death. And one of the interesting threads in that book for me was what happened to the Western European Jewish communities and how, in fact, that sort of ended up feeding the Eastern European Jewish communities, which I hadn't quite myself registered before then, was the communities in which my father's family lived. And that, in turn, obviously came into Spinning Silver, along with the Rumpelstiltskin short story. I would also say, you know, it's not a text. I feel that I've been thinking a lot about the climate crisis. And in a way, some of the writings in the climate movement, the climate mobilization, and some of the manifestos there, and kind of some of the thinking there, I think has been influencing me as well.
But I'm also interested in your Temerera series, which seems to combine dragons, empire, and colonialism. I mean, would you imagine that as sitting in a particular part of your imaginary bookshelf?
You know, so Temeraire, of course, has two very, you know, Temeraire's family tree is very clear, whether it's Patrick O'Brien on one side and Anne McCaffrey's Pern books on the other side. Then the extended family is Jane Austen and Georgette Heyer and Horatio Hornblower, and then slightly more obscure versions of these things. Those are the roots of Temeraire. Temeraire, obviously, you know, Temeraire was something that I started writing. I started working on Temeraire in 2004. And I finished the last volume, I think, in 2016. This is one of those embarrassing things where, as an author, as soon as I finish writing the books, they're gone. They're done for me. And I don't remember anything about, like, the dates exactly. But I think that's about what it was. It was more than a dozen years. And so the person who finished the series was in many ways not the same person who began it. And so with Temeraire, what was interesting was that I was having to work quite hard to be in conversation with my past self and try and find the way to bring the story to a satisfying close at the end. And obviously there's a military history and atlas of the Napoleonic Wars was an absolutely critical book for me throughout the whole series, which is this wonderful, wonderful book that essentially goes through every single campaign of the Napoleonic Wars, often on a day by day and sometimes on an hour by hour basis, showing you the troop movements across the countryside, describing things like, you know, I mean, and it's just wonderful because you realize how 95% of the Napoleonic Wars, through at least 95% of the battles, nobody had any idea what was going on. And in fact, that Napoleon's fundamental genius really was in basically better being able to manage and respond to that uncertainty.
When I started to read Spinning Silver, I thought I was reading historical fiction, which I sort of was, and then realized there was the fantasy element as well. But I just want to ask you one final question, Naomi, which is, what have you read recently in any genre that you have just loved?
You know, I have been reading very, very slowly lately just because I have very little time. I am currently still making my way through Tochi Onyebuchi's Beasts Made of Night, which is wonderful. And I've been really enjoying that. I've recently, you know, not read, I've just finished watching the whole series Avatar, The Last Airbender with my daughter, who just hit the perfect age for it. And so we essentially watched the whole thing relatively quickly over the summer. And that was just a really wonderful example of sort of storytelling that works for a whole family. And she was reading, and so I actually ended up rereading Susan Cooper's wonderful series, The Dark is Rising, which is just an absolute classic and still one of my favorites, even though I'm still angry about the ending, which I will not spoil for any of your listeners who have not yet read it. They should read it anyway and be angry with me.
Well, Naomi Nowick, congratulations on A Deadly Education, and thank you so much for speaking to us on Radio National.
Thank you so much.
Naomi Nowick's A Deadly Education is published by Del Rey. And while I often ask writers about the bookshelves that have shaped them, few talk about the role of fanfic, writing fan fiction, expanding their reading experience by continuing to imagine that fictional world. Few are as explicit about that as Novik is. And as well as her latest, I highly recommend Spinning Silver, a fantasy novel that takes the Rumpelstiltskin story and makes it a magical reflection on anti-Semitism. I'm Kate Evans, and this is a podcast extra edition of The Bookshelf. Make sure you also catch our weekly review-based program, where Cassie McCullough and I join with a host of guests to talk three new works of fiction every single week. Have you signed up to the podcast? Make sure you don't miss a thing.